Welcome back to The Compass, the podcast ministry of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville, Arkansas. We're thrilled that you've chosen to download and listen as we continue to look at God's Word. Now, on today's podcast, I have the opportunity to share about the crucifixion as we look towards Resurrection Sunday. So on today's podcast, we're looking at John chapter 19, verses 16 to 30, as we look at Jesus, our great sacrifice. But before we get to that, I want to take this opportunity to invite you to come and to worship with us. We would love to see you on March 31st, 2024, for our worship time as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But perhaps you're not going to be in town that weekend, or you already have plans. Well, we would love to connect with you at another time. You can find out more information at calvaryfayetteville.com. You can send us an email at info@calvaryfayetteville.com or simply call our church office at 479-442-4634. Again, we would love that chance to connect with you and your family. Well, on today's podcast, I do have the opportunity to share again and to share about the crucifixion and how Jesus is our great sacrifice found in John chapter 19. Let's listen together.
Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 30 as a part of our text today. John chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. It's always a privilege to be able to speak, being the family pastor. We know that Pastor Kirk is normally the guy who is sharing from the Word, but he's not feeling well this week. So just encourage you to pray for him and pray for me as I share today. There's been a time or two where I found out, oh, it's 7:30 that I was going to speak. This time I found out on Friday at about noon or so. And so that's more time, right? That felt good. But I'm always thankful for the opportunity, and especially as we had planned and looked ahead at what we were going to be sharing about. Today, we want to talk about the crucifixion. I know that typically in most churches, we talk about Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then next week is the resurrection. But we decided to look at these two key things. So we're kind of looking ahead. This Friday is typically when we think about the crucifixion. And for us, we'll have our Maundy Thursday service, our communion service on Thursday evening at 6:30. But it's important for us to think about the crucifixion, to have a good grasp on that, and to celebrate that. As believers, it is among those high things for us to think about and encourage others. Well, we're going to read our text in a moment, but let me start by sharing a little bit. Growing up, I developed a love for movies and TV. During my early years, we moved a lot due to my dad's job as a Walmart manager. He was good at it, so that meant that they would keep him around for a little bit, he'd fix problems, and then on we would go to the next spot. Some people talk about being an army brat. Others talking about being a preacher's kid, where they float around a lot. I was a Walmart brat. And so that is a very unique experience. Many times, and this was, I date myself by sharing this, Sunday, my dad would go in to work on some paperwork. He would take us, and my brother and I would run around in the store causing havoc. And a time or two, we got into a whole lot of trouble, but we don't like to dwell there. But as we moved around a lot as a family, television with its series and endless supply of reruns and old movies was always a place where I might find connection. MASH, Gilligan's Island, Father Knows Best, and the Dobie Gillis Show were among those that I would watch. And if you're of a certain age, you recognized all of those. And others, maybe a few. Abbott and Costello movies were some of my favorites. I would love those things. Now, as I get older, my love for movies and television hasn't changed a whole lot. I still like to watch a good series and movies of all types. But in the late 90s, audiences were hit with two similar disaster movies at the same time, Deep Impact and Armageddon. My love for disaster movies probably started around that time. There's something about seeing the way people respond and maybe and hopefully act heroically during difficult times that is inspiring. At the end of Armageddon, we get to see one of those choices. Ben Affleck's character was chosen to set off an explosion to help divide an asteroid that was headed to Earth. He would have to give up his life. But at the last minute, Bruce Willis's character tricked him so that he would take his place and take care of that sacrificial act. That would allow his daughter to reconnect with her boyfriend, and he gave up his life for another. And I'm sorry if I spoiled a 20-year-old movie, but, you know, that's... Sorry. That's a heroic and inspiring act. His act saved another. So that's part of the disaster movie formula. People give up their lives in a heroic act. However, these choices save only a few, or even if the movie depicts that they are saving the world, it's only for a short time. The truth is that most of us will never be put in that type of place. We read books and see movies that help us understand that, but most of the time they are simply fictional accounts. And we feel good, hopefully. We're a little sad, but we think somebody is that inspiring and that heroic. Well, today we want to look at something that wasn't fictional. It was real, and it saved the world. And as we look toward Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, as we refer to it here at Calvary, we want to think about the impact of the crucifixion and see the truth. What is that truth? Well, it's this. God's plan of salvation for mankind meant that Jesus had to die on the cross and be our great sacrifice. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to think about the pain and suffering that our Lord went through for us. But it is something we have to embrace. This week, we'll be thinking about the crucifixion. It's the subject of our message this morning. On Thursday, we'll have our Maundy Thursday communion service. It'll be at 6:30 and again take the place of our normal weekday service. On Friday, many in our community will celebrate Good Friday, a name for a day that didn't seem quite right, but is exactly the best name. It was a good day when Jesus gave up his life for each of us. So we want to look at our text for today. Look at the crucifixion, but see that God's plan of salvation for mankind meant that Jesus had to die on the cross and be our great sacrifice. So beginning in verse 16 of chapter 19 of Luke, or of John rather, the Bible says, "So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. And so they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him with two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. And Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. And so the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top to the bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots, for it is to see whose it shall be. And this was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots. And so the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. But when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that you have recorded the events of the cross so that we could see them more clearly, so that we could understand what your son did for us. I just ask in these moments that you help us to realize our need for the sacrifice of Jesus, and that you will help us to embrace that sacrifice that was made. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the crucifixion is one of the key elements of the Christian faith. There's no denying that. It's an unavoidable piece of who we are as believers. Even as we look around this auditorium, we are reminded of the crucifixion with the cross that's with us right behind us here on the stage. We need to start this morning by reminding ourselves that the cross is not some sort of magic icon that we cling to. It was an instrument of execution, and that was the means of Jesus' death. We think about it in more modern terms. How are people executed today, or even a few centuries ago? The guillotine, the electric chair, lethal injection. It would seem strange, very strange, for us to have a symbol of that in our own congregation. But that's what we do. We have a symbol of Jesus' death. But it wasn't any normal death. It was a sacrifice, a great sacrifice made for each and every one of us. You see, for there to be a resurrection, which we'll celebrate next week, there had to be a crucifixion. And today, rather than focus on the details of what happened on the cross, which are important, and I want us to look at the reasons behind the crucifixion. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross for us? Why is it such a big deal? And understand that we want to look into God's plan for salvation and the great sacrifice that had to be made. And I'll mention it again later, but I would encourage you this week, spend some time meditating on Jesus' death. Whether it's on Friday or Thursday night, spend some time with the scripture. You can look in the Gospels. They're easy to find. They're towards the end of every Gospel. If you don't know exactly where you're looking, many of your Bibles have little headers, and you can find it there. But think about this great sacrifice as we head towards Resurrection Sunday. So, what do we want to look at today? Well, first of all, we want to look at our need for a sacrifice. This execution, this crucifixion had to happen because of our need for a sacrifice. Last week, we talked about four little words that give us a framework by which we evaluate and analyze our world. In the beginning, God. Now, what did we see there? If we believe that in the beginning, God, we understand that God is the agent of creation. We understand that that's where everything began. It shapes everything we believe after that point. If we don't believe in the beginning, God, then it's going to be hard for us to latch on to anything in Scripture. But we do. Here at Calvary, we believe the Word of God. We believe that in the beginning, God. As we believe them, we see that God is a creator. If we deny them, then anything is possible, and His Word is nothing more than a fairy tale. And that may seem like an extreme stance to take, but there is great weight in our belief that God is our creator. It shapes what we think about the world, what we think about marriage, what we think about, and the list goes on. And it's a part of the record of Scripture found in Genesis. We understand that God created the world and everything in it. He created a garden in which Adam and Eve were to tend, but God gave them very specific directions, and they chose to disobey. So I want to read through Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and then chapter 3. Now, in your Bible, if you look, many of them will say the fall of man. It's important for us to understand that we need a sacrifice because of what happened in the book of Genesis, separated by thousands of years, but extremely important. Beginning in verse 15 of chapter 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." That's the command given to Adam. It's the statement saying, this is what you've got to follow. But as we go on, in Genesis 3, there are problems that arise. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat, live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground for which he was taken. He drove out the man. At the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed cherubim and flaming sword, and he turned away every to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord. There's a lot that we can unpack here. It doesn't surprise me, but both the man, both the woman, blamed somebody else for their choice. We see that there would be great pain and the sin had entered the world. But let's look at a few things. Number one, sin requires sacrifice. What happened here? Because of their sin, something had to die. We know that Adam and Eve put together leaves and to make themselves, cover themselves up. But what does God do here? In 3:21, it says, "The Lord God made garments of skins for Adam and Eve and clothed them." There is a clear indication that because of their sin, and for them to be covered symbolically in both literally, something had to die. That's a horrible thing. The idea of blood sacrifice seems barbaric to us. It seems distasteful to us, but for the Old Testament God follower, it was a normal part of following God. The guidelines were laid out later. However, sin required a sacrifice. It was a part of their system of belief that this sin would be covered by these blood sacrifices. But here, even at the very beginning, something had to die because of sin. So Adam and Eve, their choice, their decision, what they did, it means that sin requires a sacrifice. And because of that, we are born sinners. Because of Adam and Eve's choice, we come into this world in need of a Savior. A few weeks ago, Josh and Taryn Burns brought baby Charlie here to the church. Now, Jason is our worship leader, and I'm always excited to see his son, Josh. He's been a friend to our children for many years. And then for him to bring his son, I was so excited. I get to meet baby Charlie. And I got to meet baby Charlie, but basically all I could do was wave at baby Charlie because that lady over there had decided that she wanted to hang on to Charlie for dear life. And which is fine, I'll get it. My wife also got to hold him, but finally, on our Singing In tour, they showed up in Greenbrier so that I was able to sit and hold baby Charlie. I was super excited. I like babies. Babies are so much joy, so much excitement, but they come into the world sinners. Even sweet baby Charlie is a sinner in need of a Savior. We come into the world that way. I love the fact that my daughter-in-law's sister just had her triplets, and we're excited for that situation. We know it's a little bit of a road ahead of them, and I can't wait till I get to meet those babies. But again, those sweet babies come into this world sinners. Romans 5, 12 through 14, the Bible says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. We are born into sin because of the fall of Adam. That doesn't seem fair, does it? That we have to deal with this sin problem because somebody centuries ago decided, oh, I'm not going to obey God. However, that is our reality. That's how we come into this world, and that's one of the reasons that what happens on the cross is so important. Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me. In addition to being born sinners, we also choose to sin. You know, one of my favorite illustrations for understanding sinfulness is pretty simple one. Because I'm a simple guy, I like simple things. It's just a simple math equation. We think that somebody, well, if we're good people, maybe we only sin once a day, maybe twice. Well, okay, so maybe three times, because we have to drive to work, we have to drive home from work, and then there's something in the middle of the day that surely gets us. And so at least three times a day. Well, if you sin three times a day, you live to 70 years of age, you're going to commit about 70,000 sins. That's a lot. And we can't avoid that. We choose to sin. The truth is, what does it take to send us to hell? What does it take to separate us from God forever? One. Not 10,000 or less, or 20,000 or less, or if we get up to this certain number, one sin separates us from God. Again, that doesn't seem fair. I'm better maybe than that other person that you work with, that you hang out with. I don't sin as much, and that may be true, but we all make sinful choices all the time. And this isn't a comparison game. You see, if we want to play comparison, then we have to compare ourselves to Jesus. Are we less of a sinner than him? Not even close. He knew no sin. Our sinful nature demands a sacrifice. Something had to be done. And so Jesus came onto the scene. You see, Jesus became or becomes our sacrifice. Back in high school, I was a part of a program at Springdale Missionary Baptist Church called Galileans. Some of our people may be familiar with it, others may not. It's a bit dated, but it's a great program that urged young men to memorize Scripture. Some of our young ladies and other ladies went through what's called GMAs, Girls Missionary Auxiliary. Similar program, but the GMAs always seem to do it a little bit better than the guys. However, when I started memorizing some of the Scripture that was required of me to advance in there, one of the first ones was Isaiah 53:6. That was one of those passages that has always stuck with me. It's in the Old Testament, but it makes clear reference to Jesus. Beginning in verse 5 of Isaiah 53, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus became our sacrifice. God placed upon him our sin, our iniquity. That had to die at the cross. And as we think about the crucifixion of Jesus, we need to understand that in his willingness to go to the cross, he became our sacrifice. He laid down his life. No one else could take it. He humbly and willfully went to the cross for you and for me. I don't think we're moved enough by what he did. I think there's too often that we just kind of, oh yes, that happened. I got my relationship right with God when I was a child, and so I followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and I've grown in my faith, but we aren't moved by what Jesus did for us. If you sing along with us as we worship here at Calvary, hopefully at some point you're going to be hit by the truths of Scripture like what we had in today's service. It's there. The truth is that Jesus died for us. He is our hope. He is, in whether it's life or death, only him. He is our living hope. Jesus was the only one that could become our sacrifice. Others may do heroic things in this world. They may even save our physical lives. But Jesus alone could be that perfect sacrifice for us. In Isaiah, we're told that Jesus had our sins laid on him. Again, Old Testament God followers understood this concept much better than us. Jesus stood not just as a symbolic representation, he would be our perfect sacrifice. Our sins would be laid on him so that they could be taken care of on the cross. Now, it's hard to separate the crucifixion and the resurrection. And we don't really want to, because we know that he died, but then he rose again. And I don't want you to ever be left in this place of leaving Jesus in the grave. But as we look at this today, we need to understand what that meant. That our salvation comes from this great sacrifice. Romans 5:18-21, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's disobedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Back in verse 18, one trespass led to the condemnation of all men. What are we talking about? We're talking about Adam's sin. We're talking about his choice to disobey God, to turn his back on what God had asked him to do. And then we look at this one act of righteousness that leads to justification. Jesus' willingness to go to the cross and to die there for you and for me. That changed everything. And so we have to make our choice. What do we do with all of that? Today, we could have spent more time at the actual cross. Those moments as Jesus faced suffering and death, we know there are a lot of things that happened there. Jesus basically said, hey, I need you to take care of my mother. He said, it is finished. He said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? There are a lot of things that happened at that moment, important things. We know that the world around him was being impacted. There's all sorts of things. So be sure to look back and meditate on meditate on those times. Look to Scripture this week. Spend time with it. But what we need to see here is that it had to happen. The sacrifice of the cross had to happen so that you and I could have a relationship with God. There's so much to learn. So spend time thinking about that, a Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, this whole weekend to come. Instead of looking at the cross, the means by which Jesus was executed, we looked at the need for his great sacrifice. It was something that only he could do. None of us could have stepped in and had the same impact. He was perfect, sinless, our sacrifice that willingly laid down his life for you and for me. So what do we need to do with all this information? Do we just go, all right, I've learned a great biblical lesson that Jesus had to die on the cross, that as he was crucified, he was my great sacrifice? Well, there are two things that I want to point out. Number one, we need to evaluate our own spiritual health. I don't know where you're at in your faith journey. If you have ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you haven't, that's where we begin this process. Have you realized your sinfulness and sought out the forgiveness of the cross? Have you turned to Jesus as the only hope in life and death? Have you trusted him as Lord and Savior? And if you haven't, today needs to be that day. You don't need to wait until Resurrection Sunday or your birthday or some other special occasion to make that choice. Today can be special because you accept Jesus. I think about students and kids that I've worked with over the years. They've told me, I'm going to wait till camp. I don't know why, but they would tell me, I'm going to wait till church camp and then I'll accept Jesus. Or I'm going to wait to surrender to the ministry at camp. For them, it was this great spiritual place and they felt like they needed to do that. But let me tell you, when God commands, when God points us in a direction, our response needs to be yes, not I'm going to wait until this event or that event. God calls us to answer. And so if you realize that you never made that choice, there are people around, even this group here today, that would be willing to talk to you about your need for Jesus. I'm looking around. I know my wife would, over here in the green sweater. Justin Swope, who is one of our shepherd leaders. David Bentley, who's one of our shepherd leaders. Amy Parton back there. I know that any of these people, I could say, hey, talk to them about their relationship with Jesus, and you could go talk to them. Don't put it off. Don't wait. The second thing that we need to do as believers, we need to embrace the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us and live a sacrificial life for him. We need to share the great news with our friends and family members. And it doesn't have to be this, all right, I've got to get a big Bible and put it in my Bible holster and go out and pull it and whack people on the head with the gospel. It needs to simply be, hey, where are you on your faith journey? What are you doing next Sunday? Come sit by me for church. I would love that. Simple invitations, heartfelt, authentic invitations to friends that you love and that you care about. It's not difficult. It's a pretty simple place to start. Start there. Invite someone to worship with you next week. Crucifixion can be a little hard to swallow. It's difficult to look at, to think about. For those of us who have seen movies over the years and seen Jesus face his crucifixion, or maybe you've seen a musical and thought, oh, or Easter Cantata, how difficult and painful that was. And it can be especially painful and gruesome for us to think about in today's society. How could a kind God allow his son to experience that agony? He put it in motion so that we might have a relationship with him and bring glory to his name. That's why we look to the crucifixion as an important piece of our faith. That's why we need to understand this truth. God's plan of salvation for mankind meant that Jesus had to die on the cross, and he had to be our great sacrifice. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these moments. We thank you for the opportunity to be here and to worship you and to celebrate all that you've done. And I just ask that you help us as a congregation to embrace, celebrate, go forward knowing that you are a good, loving God, that you were willing to send your son to die on a cross for each and every one of us. I thank you so much for the people here. And I thank you so much for Jesus. Forgive us where we fail you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our heart's desire is that you grow and understand the direction God has for you in your life. We hope that by listening today, you are one step closer to discovering that for yourself. If you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to reach out to us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We meet for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at 1410 North Porter Road in Fayetteville, Arkansas. If you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or at calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.